Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're laughing like Jack Youngblood here aboard the mothership, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. It's a Target Demo Friday, which means we want to hear where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing for playoffs this weekend. Let us know on either Twitter or on Facebook. You'll know where to leave that information because you'll see the meme of me and Merez playing the role of Old Man Brady and Old Man Breeze for the History Channel. Brady put out that meme earlier in the week to promote Bucks and Saints this weekend, have some fun. And then Andrew Kaplan, Wizard of Watch DA, took it to the next level and made us look hideous and old and horrifying and disgusting. So you can check that out on Twitter and Facebook and leave your info for Target Demo Friday. We'll do that in about an hour and 40 minutes. This hour, in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. In 40 minutes, would you spend $5 million on a baseball card? And if so, which baseball card? Because it happened yesterday. But first, the NFL playoffs. And this weekend, the Rams at Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers has had an amazing season. And Rodgers has had a lot of amazing seasons. And has had a Hall of Fame career. But amazingly, Aaron Rodgers has never played in an NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. The four NFC Championship games he's played in have all been on the road. Chicago, he won. Seattle, they collapsed and lost in overtime. That was the onside kick game. He also lost in Atlanta, and last year got worked over in San Francisco. He has never, can you believe it, played in an NFC Championship game at home. Never. Which, just to contrast two legacies and Hall of Fame careers, oftentimes you will hear observers of the NFL say Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever to play, but Aaron Rodgers is the most talented. And you look at Tom Brady, off the top of my head, I would imagine they went to 9 Super Bowls. Whew. They might have had 11 or 12 AFC Championship games at home. I mean, it sounds insane, but it probably is. Maybe, Mraz, you can check that out. How many AFC Championship games did Tom Brady play at home? I mean, that's... Rodgers is 0. Brady's at least 9 or 10 because they've lost AFC Championship games at home as well. So that's how different your life is as a quarterback. Now, it's not to say that Aaron Rodgers hasn't been his own worst enemy at times as well, but it's a lot different playing on the road versus at home in the championship game? Mraz, what's that number?
So Brady has played 7 at home. They have played 8 if you counted the Parcells Bledsoe year in 96.
So Brady went to 9 Super Bowls, and 7 of them, the AFC championship games, were at home?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, they won at Pittsburgh twice. That's right. They won at Pittsburgh in 01 and 04.
Yes, that's correct.
But they lost in Denver twice. They lost in Indianapolis once, and they lost at home to the Ravens once.
I think Indianapolis might have been.
They played them at home in 03, right. But then they lost to them in Indianapolis in 06.
Right. Well, and remember, okay, so they played at Foxborough. The last time they played at home in an AFC title game was the Jacksonville game. They played back-to-back years, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. The year before that, they were in Denver. So they played in Denver 2 out of 3 years.
Right, they lost both of those.
And they played in, Pittsburgh played in Denver. And then you had the back-to-back years at home versus the Ravens. So that's
right, both at
5
home.
Of them. Then this Charger game was there. 6-03 was at Foxborough. That makes 7.
Got it. So 7-0 is the difference. I mean, imagine playing 7 AFC championship games at home. 7
right.
AFC championship games versus 0. So that's how different this is right now. For Aaron Rodgers, a chance to get to an NFC Championship game finally at Lambeau Field. He was on the Packers the last time there was an NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field, but they lost. Brett Favre was the starter. That was 2007, which feels like eons ago. So Rodgers right now is on the cusp of doing something that he's never done before, play at home for a chance at the Super Bowl. And Rodgers this year is likely to be the MVP and has just been absolutely phenomenal. And you might tie that to Jordan Love being drafted in April to be the successor to Rodgers, maybe lit a fire under him, maybe made him say, I'll show you. Rodgers said, though, that that wasn't the reason that he's been a different Aaron Rodgers this year. The reason was that the pandemic and quarantine allowed him space to analyze himself, to think about what it was that made him happy, what drove him, what motivated him, and to appreciate things more. And he said that before pandemic hit, he was the type of guy that during the offseason would take trips, would travel, would remain intellectually stimulated. And you can see that from Aaron Rodgers, that Rodgers would obviously always need a stimulation, something challenging him. And this is interesting because you might remember we had Danica Patrick on the show, and I asked Danica about their relationship and about their bond, and she said that one of the things that they really bonded over was being stimulated intellectually all the time, that they would always do things together and read things and talk about things. That's what really bonded them. Now, they're broken up now, but that's the type of guy that Rodgers is, to nobody's surprise. He clearly looks that way. And my guess is Mike McCarthy, by the end of it, was no longer challenging Rodgers to be a better Aaron Rodgers, but instead kind of challenging him in other sillier ways in Rodgers' mind. Less sophisticated ways, and Rodgers started to get bent out of shape and started to distance himself. Now, again, it's not that Rodgers doesn't have his own flaws, because I think he could be remarkably stubborn. He could want to do it his way. I think he always wants the credit for having done it his way. I mean, the fact that Aaron Rodgers this year has dismissed that the no-look pass is Patrick Mahomes or that Josh Allen has the strongest arm in the NFL kind of feels like pettiness for a future Hall of Famer. You know, if you're Aaron Rodgers, who cares if you did a no-look pass before Patrick Mahomes did? But those are things that come with the package of Aaron Rodgers. But he said that being still and not kind of constantly being out there and stimulated and traveling and doing things like that because of pandemic helped him refocus and helped him savor things more, and helped him really appreciate the moments in that locker room. And I think he has been a better teammate and a better player to be coached as well. Because when Matt LaFleur took over last year, let's face it, it felt like there was a couple of alpha males trying to figure out who was the true leader. And I think LaFleur's done a good job by not showing ego and allowing Aaron Rodgers to be that alpha male and to give Rodgers the credit and to give Rodgers control. But I think Rodgers has also appreciated LaFleur and given him credit as well. And Rodgers has had two of the most successful seasons of his career in these 2 years with LaFleur. Last year, NFC Championship game. This year, the number one seed of the NFC. So I think it has really worked on both sides. And for Rodgers, the pandemic might have been the best thing that could have happened to him, because maybe he could be aloof. Maybe he could be really hard on his teammates. Maybe he could be a guy that might have pushed the blame or the buck somewhere else when it was somebody else's fault, but you don't have to say it. And I think this year he's been a better version of Aaron Rodgers in those instances. And his football is still amazing. His football is absolutely amazing to watch still. There are still throws that he makes that nobody else can do, even Mahomes. There's still plays made by Rodgers that only Aaron Rodgers can make. And I think that Aaron Rodgers in a second Super Bowl championship does change a lot. He's never going to catch Tom Brady 6. That's out of the realm of possibility. But a second championship is a lot different than number one, than just number one. Remember, for Packers fans specifically, Brett Favre only had one Super Bowl ring, so it puts him ahead of Brett Favre. Secondly, I think when you have a championship in 2010 and then perhaps one in 2020, 10 years apart, it's not like Peyton Manning, where he kind of rode the defense at the end to that championship, and a lot of people don't really give him credit for that second title. This year has clearly still been elite Aaron Rodgers. So Rodgers doing it that well over that amount of time, that you could win a Super Bowl 10 years apart. Super Bowls 10 years apart and still be the most important part of your offense, most important part of your team, would speak a lot to the longevity of his greatness. And let's face it, two championships is Bart Starr territory. One championship is Trent Dilfer territory. Again, nobody's going to compare him to Trent Dilfer, but when you're talking about two rings versus one, there's a big difference in NFL history. So I think what Rodgers is doing here, if he can cap this season with a championship, with a Lombardi, with a ring, it would really establish him as one of the greatest ever to do it. He's already a Hall of Famer. But if he gets a second championship this year, and maybe the pandemic helped him get there, then we're talking about one of the three or four greatest quarterbacks of all time. I think you'd have to put him in that category with a second championship this year. And I think it's really interesting that Rodgers inadvertently fell into a better mind state because of the quarantine, because of the pandemic, because he was forced to be still and be with himself and just really think about where his life is at, where his career is at, what he wants, what he appreciates, and trying to do some internal analysis. And a lot of people will never get there. A lot of people will never get to a spot where they really look within themselves and say, how can I be better? How can I be happier? Part of the issue in today's American society is that we are always looking at somebody else to make us happy, because everything is programmed towards us. Technology is all programmed towards us. Media programmed towards what we want to hear, what we want to believe. And so you are inundated by the reasons to believe that life should be about you being made happy. And this is why Little Mo is my hero. Little Mo didn't need life to teach him how to be happy. Mo found happiness within himself. And wherever he went, whoever he touched, whatever his life situation was, he carried the happy. He carried the happiness with him. Rodgers figured that out. And again, a lot of people don't get there because it's hard, because it takes a lot of time, because it takes a lot of stillness, and people don't want to be still. But Rodgers is a better quarterback and a better teammate because of it. And if it caps off a championship season, it means the world in his legacy. Here's the question, Mraz. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers respects Matt LaFleur more today going into the playoffs than he did last year going into the playoffs?
Yes, I do, because they piggybacked off everything, and I'm sure LaFleur handled everything that Rodgers came into camp with after drafting Jordan Love. probably pretty well for them to have had this kind of chemistry and go now for, if you're Matt LaFleur, back-to-back years. Rodgers can't have that big an ego that he thinks 13 wins in back-to-back years for a first-time head coach is all on Rodgers, even though a big part of it is. I absolutely think backing up last year with that 13-win year this year has to be an enormous feather in the cap for LaFleur in the eyes of Rodgers.
I do too. I think this year's a different Rodgers and LaFleur relationship. I think last year there was constantly the wonder and the questions. Do they get along? Is Rodgers resenting some of the control? Does LaFleur want him? And I think those things have been put to bed. Second question about Rodgers. Do you think Jordan Love being drafted helped Aaron Rodgers focus and be better? Or would he be this Aaron Rodgers had they drafted anybody else in that spot?
Well, he would have been great no matter what, but maybe less on the focus and more on the looseness of Aaron Rodgers, because I think Aaron Rodgers probably approached this year with, you know, to heck with it. I'm going to do everything I can and have some fun and hang out, because clearly the franchise that has invested in me sees the end for me, and I am going to go out and I'm going to have an edge on me to a bit and basically prove that I'm not done, but at the same time, have a ton of fun, because that had to have been, and Rodgers has said so in similar quotes, you know, the first realization for Rodgers that, you know what, the end is near if they're drafting a quarterback like Jordan Love. So maybe not the laser focusness part, but more of the I'm going to loosen up, I'm going to have more fun part, which may have actually made Rodgers even better this year.
Maybe so. Maybe he didn't have a frustration, a stubbornness, an anger right. that maybe he's had before. I think he still has the ego, but it certainly has seemed like Rodgers has been a little looser this year.
Right.
And the end of Mike McCarthy was not a healthy relationship, and maybe the first year of Matt LaFleur wasn't as trustworthy as this one. Then the third question. Rodgers is 37 years old. We're watching Drew Brees play at 42, Tom Brady play at 43. But Rodgers is saying, look, this could be my last year. I don't think it is, but it could be, which is an interesting finality to put on a season where you could be MVP. I mean, there's just no way Rodgers walks away, I don't think, after an MVP season, knowing how much years he's got left. But if I put the over under at 2.5 years of Aaron Rodgers left in the league, would you take the over or the under?
I would take the over. I would take the over. I think it's inevitable that he finishes his career somewhere else. And look, we're talking about Brady probably definitely coming back for a second year. We're talking about Rivers probably coming back for a second year in Indy. I think Rodgers probably plays at least 2 years somewhere else besides Green Bay, and I think he's definitely coming back next year to the Packers.
So you would say 2021 Packers, Aaron Rodgers, 2022 and 2023 somewhere else.
Somewhere else, yep. My guess is he's probably got at least 3 years, and two of them are somewhere else.
I take the over as well. I think he's going to play 3 more years minimum. I mean, if you're coming off an MVP and the number one seed in the playoffs, there's no way you're retiring in my mind this year. And I think he's proven that he's still got really good football for a while. He's taking care of his body. So I think that he's got 3 more years plus. I, though, can see a Brady Garoppolo thing happening where he staves off the incumbent, that he just keeps playing really well. And he never allows Jordan Love on the football field. The Packers are forced to keep playing him. Couldn't you see that?
I definitely could, though you got to remember two things here. The Patriots took Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. The Packers and this staff traded up in the first round to get Jordan Love. So I do think the investment in assets is a little different between Garoppolo and Jordan Love. But to your point, how do you just hand it over to Love simply because you drafted him if Rodgers keeps playing it at MVP level and finding yourself in NFC championship games?
I think that Rodgers, see, I wonder what the front office wants. Do they want Rodgers to be great and then to hand things over to Jordan Love and make it easy because Jordan Love looks great? Or would they rather it be obvious that Rodgers is starting to erode and so there's no controversy in that transition? I mean, it won't be easy if Rodgers is playing like this, but they really want to get Jordan Love that job, and that they've got to kick him to the curb after a great season. I mean, that would cause a lot of controversy, don't you think, in Green Bay?
Yeah, I think if the Packers had their wish, they would hope for signs of basically decomposing from Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position so that they don't look like fools for doing this. Because if they go to Jordan Love, who had his own questions, and he stinks in 2 years, and Rodgers goes somewhere else, and he basically becomes Peyton Manning in the early years in Denver, it's going to blow up and look terrible in Green Bay's eyes. Face. So I'm sure they want some proof that he has faded to make that transition easier. And I have to think somewhere in the back of their mind, maybe they didn't expect it this year. They had to have seen signs last year that they think that could be potentially coming for them to have done this already with Jordan Love. You can't tell me they love Jordan Love that much that they had to have and had to trade up without thinking we're already seeing early signs of Rodgers that maybe we're not picking up at on TV.
Yeah, maybe that's true. But boy, if you're going to be the MVP right. and throw this many touchdowns against this many interceptions and lead your team to 13-3 in the number one seed, it's hard for me to imagine what they're seeing behind the scenes that make them feel like they need a new quarterback. I think that they're just probably getting ahead of the cavalry going, well, Rodgers can't do this forever, but feels premature to be expecting him to decline after this season.
And it should just be noted, DA, to wrap this, when you talk about his legacy and getting that second ring, think about if the chips fall where we think they may. Now, I have my questions about how they'll deal with the Rams' defense this week, but if they do go win a Super Bowl this year, that means he will have either ended Drew Brees' career or ended Tom Brady's potentially best shot at winning a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick in the NFC Championship game, and then ended Patrick Mahomes' chance at a repeat in a Super Bowl. That is a major legacy run for Aaron Rodgers if that's how he gets and wins to a Super Bowl here.
It's true, and there's no guarantee that it's the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but if it is Patrick Mahomes, that absolutely would be an amazing run. This week it starts with the Rams, and we'll see how Rodgers of the Packers play at home at Lambeau Field. Again, they have never, this is crazy, with Rodgers as the starter, been at home for an NFC Championship game. If they win, they are doing that. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
One of the most respected voices in sports television, James Brown.
Mr. DA, that is as big time an opening on the show with the musical composition and the voice as I have ever heard. That's awesome.
Oh, well, thanks very much, JB.
Did you have a hand with your gifts and talents? Give some significant input on that?
I'm a big 1970s soul and funk guy, and so I asked the production
team.
That
was clear. I love that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Funky. 25 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us. It's a Target Demo Friday, so find the Target Demo Friday meme on Twitter and on Facebook and let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you'll be doing for divisional round NFL playoff weekend. Billy White Shoes Johnson is going to join us in a half hour from now. One of the greatest kick returners in NFL history, one of the members of the NFL 100. We'll look ahead to the NFL divisional round with him coming up at the top of the hour. Also, watch us at watchda.com. as well as on Twitch. Find the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch. Brett in Brewtown tweets, Schwartz has got to be the most self-secure guy of all time. He's a punchline of a national radio show at least twice a week, and he still can't wait to post the pics of the used spandex he caught at the Long Island Ducks game for all of us to see. Bless his heart. Brett, you have no idea how right you are. Just this morning, most of our conversations off of the air have revolved around Schwartz because he has posted a bet that he has made. Okay? Now, we here on the DA show, we love bets. We love bets over sports games. We love making people pay up. And Mraz is going to have to pay up to the Patriots bet sometime this spring by wearing an oversized Colonialists outfit as I throw dodgeballs at him from 5 yards away and dump clam chowder over his head. So we love bets, and Mraz Schwartz has announced his big bet for playoff weekend. He announced this on Facebook today. What is it?
This was 16 hours ago. I made a friendly wager with my next door neighbor's son on the game tonight. This would be the Rangers Islanders season opener last night in the NHL. At stake, our favorite candy bars. If the Islanders win, this kid has to get me a king-size Hershey's bar, and he made sure to tag at Hershey's, obviously, because he's looking for the retweet. If the Rangers win, I have to get him a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, again, tagging Reese's. Schwartz forgetting that Reese's and Hershey are the same company, but nonetheless, the key there, though, Schwartz making a kid have to buy him a king-size Hershey bar. No mention of the king-size when it comes to him having to pay up on a peanut butter cup.
So most boring bet of all time has nothing to do with the NFL playoffs. It's opening night for hockey. Number two, he made a bet with basically a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, he found it important enough to announce on social media that he made a bet with a 10-year-old for candy bars?
Yes. When, again, I don't know what this accomplishes other than maybe by tagging Hershey's or Reese's, you hope they retweet it or share it. Or B, you think people in the Ranger-Islander rivalry, so excited for last night's game, which now just drubbed the Rangers, cared enough that you would win a king-size Hershey bar.
Boy, those stakes are really high for Schwartz. A candy bar is on the line with a fourth grader. That's big stuff here. So,
yeah. And hold on. Before we show, there's no doubt here for a second either, DA. Schwartz has not taken money out of his pocket to buy the king-size Hershey bar. He always buys the regular. It's the idea that a 10-year-old would have to buy it, so it might as well ask for the king-size.
Well, so this is the thing. The bet is Schwartz puts up a regular Reese's where the kid puts up a king-size Hershey's.
Yes.
Right there, that bet should be null and void. You can't bet different standards unless he's giving him points or something. He's giving him a goal and a half or something like that. You can't do that. Number two, you called him out on this on Facebook, and what was his response?
His response was, LOL, his father was standing right next to him because I said, where's this kid's advisement? I'm making this bad deal. And he said, with an exclamation point, I'm giving him a Reese's anyway. Spelled Reese's wrong. But, yeah, so I guess he thinks now because the kid has to pay up that he's going to be a good guy and slip the kid a peanut butter cup. And his
He said the kid's dad was there. So you can't swindle a 10-year-old just because his dad is next to him. Still doesn't make it ethically right.
Right. And again, he could have made the deal for the king size bar and then not posted the king size part on Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff if he's making the bet, but he still posted that. Like, he could have swindled the kid. Nobody would have known about it. It could have been a simple one-for-one roster swap between the Hershey's and the Reese's, but he made a point of letting the world know he swindled the kid. Where's the enjoyment in that?
Number one, worst bet ever. Most boring thing ever. Number two, don't need to share it on Facebook. It's not that cool. Number three, you swindled the kid. And number four, your rationale behind swindling the kid was, well, his dad was right there too. This is what I'm talking about.
And remember the whole Halloween episode where his son trashed my aunt's decorations and this, that, and the other thing? And he said, my kids are taught better. They would never do anything rude. Well, Pete, here you are 2 years later rudely screwing over another kid out of paying up more on a Hershey bar than you're giving back on a Reese's peanut butter
cup. Celebrating it.
And celebrating it. So you're telling me now that your kids would know better than to be rude? You're being rude.
Going back to the Rodgers and Brady thing, Rodgers has never played in a home championship game. I'm going to try to quickly pivot off of that. He has never played in a home championship game. Tom Brady's played in 13 AFC championship games. 13 of them. Is this insane? Tom Brady has played in 13 AFC championship games. At home, there were 7 of them. He went 6-1, the only loss to the Baltimore Ravens in 2012. He had 6 on the road. So 7 at home, 6 on the road. At home, 6-1. On the road, 3-3. They went to Pittsburgh twice, and then Kansas City, of course, a couple of years ago and won. They lost on the road in Denver twice and at Indianapolis. Tom Brady went 13 times to the AFC Championship game. 13! And went 9-4. Are you kidding?
Yeah. That's why if you're not rooting for the Saints Sunday and you're not a Buck fan, you need your head examined. Do we need another Brady championship game appearance as Breeze is on his way out the door here? No way. Let's go Saints.
Rodgers has played in 4 NFC championship games. Brady's played in 13 AFC championship games. And I would think that Breeze has been in 3 or 4, is my guess.
You think as many as 4? I feel like the Saints get let down before championship games a lot. They lost to the Rams and obviously won the year they went to the Super Bowl. I don't remember another Saint championship game.
I think they lost to the Bears in 06 when it was the Lovie Smith Rex Grossman year. I think that was the third.
Okay.
But not a lot. Not a lot. Standing by with our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. Jet fans got a little worried when Niners defensive coordinator Robert Saleh left his second interview with the club and met with the Eagles later that night, but the Jets got their man last night with Saleh agreeing in principle to a reported 5-year deal. He was one of 9 men to interview for that job, with 5 other teams showing interest in him. That hire came on the heels of the Jaguars finalizing their marriage with Urban Meyer. Scott Linehan is the apparent frontrunner to be Jacksonville's offensive coordinator, and Meyer has reportedly reached out to Raheem Morris about running his defense. And the Falcons have reportedly offered their job, their head coaching job, to Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. He was supposed to have a second interview with the Lions today. Now, some of you might have heard earlier this morning that the Seahawks need a new offensive coordinator after dumping Brian Schottenheimer, and that Russell Wilson wants to be involved in finding the replacement.
It's vital. It's critical. It's, you know, super significant that, you know, obviously that, you know, I'm a part of that process, and coach and I have definitely been talking about John too as well. And, you know, we've had some super long conversation, great dialogue about the thought process of who we want, kind of the idea, kind of leader, the thought process, the innovator, all that kind of different stuff that you want.
All right. So a couple
this
of things.
This guy landed
here.
Sierra. What type of game does he have?
Diarrhea.
This
poop.
Is an hour long Zoom press conference yesterday. I think there were 9 questions asked in that hour, because he talks and talks and talks, and he constantly like resets his thought because he needs to squeeze in another cool word. It goes from great to fantastic to awesome. There's a lot of vibes in there. You know what I mean? And at the end, he goes, I hope that answered your question, because he just rambled for 8 minutes and he's lost complete track of where he began. He's crazy.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, he really likes to hear himself talk. When he did the TED Talk for neutrality thinking, that you always have to be unemotional and neutral, and you just heard him talk and talk and talk and talk, he really fancies himself as some type of great orator, and realistically, he says things like diarrhea poop.
Unlimited
words.
You know who he must have been, and we've all been in those classrooms. He's the kid with 2 minutes left on the clock before class lets out that's got to ask the 10-minute question then that has to be answered for
filibuster.
10 minutes. Right.
He's a filibuster.
And you basically had 1 foot on the desk, you're hanging out to run out the class like I would be, and now next thing you know, you're in a classroom for an extra 20 minutes because he asked a meaningless question forever.
It's a little Kyrie-ish. Now, Kyrie's more self-destructive. Kyrie is far more unpredictable. Kyrie is really in his own little world. But, you know, Kyrie answers a question and really likes to hear Kyrie speak. And so he just keeps going and going and trying to weave some type of great insight into the world, into every one of his answers. And Russell Wilson's a little bit like it. And once Kyrie is done, you're like, what did that even mean? I'm now more confused. And Russell Wilson's a little bit like that. They really like to hear themselves speak. Wilson's far more grounded, but I mean, that's why when he did the Mr. Unlimited thing, it's like, is this a joke? Are you serious? Do you think this is funny? Do you realize how corny it is? He's on his own planet as well.
Yeah.
I guess Sierra's probably on her own planet as well.
No, Mr. I mean, look,
Mr. Unlimited.
As somebody who's hung out with both of them, obviously,
sure,
Ciara
yeah.
is way cooler
rubbed elbows
than Russell
with the
Wilson.
Greats.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Some of us played in celebrity soccer games, DA. Some of us hung with Ciara and Russell Wilson.
Editors.
At Prince's house, right?
Yes.
Editor's note, I played in a media game. You went to Prince's freaking mansion. What do they call that? Prince
Paisley
Land?
Paisley Place. Yeah. No, it's no big deal. I only used the bathroom there.
You went, you had to put your phone in a basket, and then you did shots with Sierra and Russell Wilson and Justin Timberlake?
Well, no, Justin.
And Mike Samter.
No, Justin looked over us. It was Imani Toomer and Tiki who were with us. It was, you know, it was a who's who event. What are you going to do? You're walking around. People were making s'mores inside. I still think that was the most amazing part. Who lights a fire inside?
Were the ceilings were
anyone
that
anyone with
tall?
A fireplace.
Yeah, because Prince...
Was it a fire pit or was it just a fireplace?
No, it was a fire pit. Listen, Prince, obviously, with the money he has a recording studio that you would think just looks like the studio would do whatever it is, but it looks like Hammerstein Ballroom. Like, it's an unbelievable mansion, so the ceilings are very high, and there's people with bonfires making s'mores. Peanut butter s'mores, graham cracker s'mores, chocolate s'mores. There were so many s'mores, I couldn't get enough.
How was Russell Wilson's s'more?
Russell Wilson went plain s'more. I'm serious. That's where we started. We migrated over to the bar. It was, you know who never went over by the s'more table? Typical. T.O. Too good to have a s'more.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a carb since 2007.
Too good. Put a graham cracker or marshmallow to get a T.O. Lighten up. Have a good day. Come hang with me,
really?
And Santa.
Yeah, T.O. Lighten up. That's a good way to put it. Lighten up. Have a freaking s'more. Make a bet with a 10-year-old kid already.
Have fun with your dessert.
The same night D.A. went and saw Third Eye Blind at some bar.
That's what graham cracker. That's what marshmallow. That's my marshmallow. That's my marshmallow, man. Okay, folks.
Oh, there's some more sports news. Playoff action this weekend. Aaron Donald and his sore ribs, not even on the Rams' final injury report. Saints QB Taysom Hill yet to practice this week with a knee injury. He is in some doubt for that game Sunday with the Buccaneers. NBA last night, the Blazers losing at home to the Pacers 111-87, and center Yusuf Nurkic broke his right wrist. The Sixers beat the Heat 125-108, and the Rockets won their first game without James Harden 109-105. In San Antonio. Second baseman DJ LeMahieu on the verge of remaining a Yankee. MLB.com says their new deal could be done by the end of today. On night two of the hockey season, the Oilers down the Canucks 5-2. Connor McDavid, 3 goals and 1 assist. And now, for the last time this week, we're stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Thanks to the multiple listeners that sent this story my way. They know, they knew it's been a while since we had a Florida man. And this Florida man allegedly picked an interesting thing to steal. A tiki hut boat. So think a floating octagon with a small bar in the middle, straw roof, and you're just sitting hanging a good time in the Florida Keys. Well, one of these things went missing, and obviously it was going to be noticed that it was missing, and it was pretty easy to find the floating tiki hut bar in the water for the U.S. Coast Guard. Not shockingly at all, the guy that apparently stole this floating tiki bar was found on the boat in the only way he should have been, stone cold drunk.
Now, unfortunately, because of that, I think no drinking and boating, so he was in violation of that, so he was a drunk boater, but also stole the tiki hut. So both of those things are a problem. But I have to say, if I just didn't care about repercussions, have you guys ever felt or thought about, man, if I just didn't care about repercussions, what would I want to do? This is one of those things. I would just, like, on my final days of not caring, be like, you know what? Don't care about my job. Don't care about my family. Don't care about my responsibilities. Don't care. Just don't care. And I'm just going to go to the Florida Keys. I'm going to steal a tiki hut boat and get hammered and drift off into sea. That feels like the best final page of a life book ever, doesn't it?
That is a good, good time, of course, if you want to do it safely. I don't know, DA. I kind of feel like I'd just be one of those people that just had it, walk away, walk to an airport with nothing but the clothes on my back and just fly somewhere for a day, get drunk, see the sights, fly back, and not tell anybody where I went. That would be my not care moment. But maybe as a part of that, I would end up in the Florida Keys stealing a tiki boat.
Well, the Florida Keys are amazing. They're beautiful. It's warm. It's totally laid back. It's tropical. It's still the state, so you don't need to go through any type of customs or anything like that. It's just amazing. And then to be on a tiki boat in that beautiful turquoise water, and then I guess the tiki bar boat has a full bar, right? I mean, that's how this guy gets drunk.
Yes.
So you're just making yourself cocktails, rum runners, what have you, and you're just out there underneath the tiki. You can swim, you can sunbathe, you're just out there. I mean, I don't know how you're eating. I guess you're spearfishing or something like that. Maybe there's a few sandwiches left in there, but that just feels like the freaking life.
Yeah, if they're a bunch of coconut rum runners, I'm sure that you can know how to spearfish like your Tom Hanks and Kiss, the way, Dia. That's exactly what they're taking care of. A little odd, though. Wouldn't you be scared of sharks in that spot? You're alone on that boat that seemingly is easy to fall off of. Maybe you've had too many drinks. I feel like a shark attack is imminent in that spot. That's what I would be petrified of.
I don't know. That water's so clear. Wouldn't you be able to see the shark?
So that is always the argument. If you see the shark, is it easier to get away from the shark? But you're in their home, right? It's like going into Arrowhead to play Mahomes in an AFC title game. Like, that is tough to get out of the way.
It's a very
tough
road.
Just because you see it coming, you might panic more and slow yourself down. I think you're dead.
If you have a driver of the tiki bar boat, is there a better day on earth than being on a tiki bar boat in the middle of the Keys and just floating your life away?
No, to not have a worry in the world, you go out there 8 hours on a boat, somebody driving, and you could just float out, look at the clear water, maybe jump in and out of the water, have as many cocktails as you want. Oh my goodness, there's not a better day. There is not a better day without a worry in the world.
It has to be somebody that you don't know or you're not related to, though, also, because you can't, the person that you're with has to be employed by you, so if you don't want to hear them talk, they're not going to talk,
yes.
Right? And that's a very key part of this. If you just want silence in the tiki hut boat, you're not, you know, having a forced conversation.
It's a good point, because forced conversation can ruin any good day. There's no doubt about it.
Like, worst case scenario is Shep is the captain of that tiki boat.
Then I'm preferring shark attack in that spot.
For whom?
Shep would be walking sharks, as a matter of fact.
Bogues, is that, you ever dream about that? Like, what happens if you just didn't care about repercussions, what you would do?
Yeah, and it has to be at a beach. It has to be water. It has to be a drink with an umbrella in it. I might upgrade the vessel. I might want, like, a full-blown, like, mega yacht if I'm going to really check out. But the tiki hut bar floating is not a bad place to start.
How do you steal one of these, by the way? I mean, I guess they have a motor on them, so you gotta go to the dock. You got to unhook it, unhinge it, clip it. And then start the motor and just float out of the middle of nowhere and just get drunk on rum runners.
Push it out and head out. It's great. Oh, now I want to hit the beach.
Sounds good on January the 15th to talk about the Florida Keys and a tiki boat, didn't it?
Yeah. We're due for Bilotti's Twitter picture of him doing a polar bear plunge any minute now, so that's good.
When we come back, if you had $8 million or $5 million to spend on a baseball card, what card would it be? Because it happened yesterday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
He did the little sit trick, but I don't know about that. I thought it was cute, but I could see all the other handlers like, okay, we get it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know about that. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us on a Target Demo Friday. Let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you'll be doing for playoffs this weekend. And I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show, an hour from now. Yesterday, a Mickey Mantle rookie, 1952, set the record for most expensive baseball card or any sports card ever. $5.2 million. $5.2 million. This card was graded as Mint 9 and sold for about $2.8 million just 2 years ago. So how about that for an increase in value? 2.8 and in 2 years went to 5.2. There's only a handful of the Mickey Mantle rookies that are graded this high, which is great condition, straight corners, no creases, etc. And the guy that bought it looks like a real tool. He's got this really stupid hat on. I think his t-shirt says dope, and like as though this is cool or rad, dope. I don't know. And this guy just looks like a total
rad
moron. But this set the record because the previous record was a Mike Trout 09 Bowman Chrome Draft Prospect Super Factor, which went for about $4 million back in August. Now, there's been a trading card boom recently, and I've tried to study this, and I'm still kind of at a loss for why suddenly people want baseball cards, because I used to collect them incessantly when I was 10 and 11 and 12 years old, and then I haven't really done it for years. Now, suddenly, I'm seeing a whole bunch of really wealthy, you know, stock portfolio guys and hedge fund managers want to jump into the fray, and I'm like, well, what happened in the last 20 years? Baseball cards have been there forever. But anyway, I'm so much more about Mickey Mantle's rookie card going for $5 million than Mike Trout's going for $4 million. Whereas if you had $5 million, what would you spend it on in terms of a baseball card?
How about a Babe Ruth Red Sox card?
I don't think that exists.
Well, we weren't painting portraits of these guys and putting them on cards. We had Honus Wagner. Wasn't Honus Wagner the same era?
Honus Wagner was, but there's a very limited run of cards back then. Those were tobacco cards, and I don't think it stretches all the way back to before 1919 when Babe Ruth was sold. I think it started in the 20s, actually. Oh,
that's why we need a personalized baseball card booth in every stadium. We can go back and make one.
Let me check that for you. That's an interesting one. Babe Ruth on the Red Sox. Is there a card that exists that has that? When we come back, we'll also talk to Billy White Shoes Johnson. We'll talk to him about this upcoming weekend of the NFL, one of the greatest kick returners in NFL history. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.